Welcome all. Max of the Accidental Engineer here. Today we are rejoined by Ruby Bhattacharya. Ruby is Senior Technical Recruiter at Coinbase. Did I get that right?
That's correct. Cool. That's correct.
And for our audience that might not know what Coinbase is, do you mind sharing real quick what you guys do? You guys are a San Francisco-based startup.
So we're a San Francisco-based startup. Basically, it's the future of digital currency. If you've heard of cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Ethereum. What Coinbase is trying to do is open an open financial market for everybody. So that's the basics of Coinbase.
And Ruby's role at Coinbase is seeking and hiring and making offers to
very talented software engineers. So basically all I do is hire senior software engineers where we go through a rigorous interview process, sometimes a rigorous negotiating process, which I believe we're going to talk about a bit today. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, like Ruby said, the topic today is about compensation and negotiating compensation with an employer or a recruiter at an employer. And specifically, in the case of startups like Coinbase, the equity component and understanding the equity component of offers you might get when you get a job offer. So for our audience that might be very much new to the concept of getting equity as a portion of their total compensation of taking the job, what is common in the industry for beyond cash for employees to get?
Gotcha. Okay. You mean the percentage?
Not percentage, but even just the concept of options.
The concept of options. Okay, so if you're getting an offer and brand new, you've got equity in this component, and you're probably thinking, I really don't know what that means. You know, what does it mean that I get this percent? What does 8,000 shares mean, really? Yeah. Like, you know, to which company, what do they mean? They don't mean anything. It's not comparing apples to apples. You don't really know what those figures mean. What you'll also get in an offer letter, you'll have, like, the diluted share price. They will try and give you a valuation of the company. They will try and give you a strike price if they can. Now, these are all questions like, what are these elements in it and how do I compare? So we can just like start going unpacking, through those, unpacking what's in your offer letter.
Okay. Well, I guess for people who might not have two offers on the table,
right,
where they can't compare that they've gotten an 8,000 share options offer at company A with a 5,000 share options offer at company B, but the strike price is different. Let's say in isolation, looking at one offer with a certain set of options and a strike price.
Okay.
How do you present that offer to engineers that you make job offers to?
Right. So when you're talking about giving an offer, obviously, after you've discussed that you're giving the person the offer, then we sort of start getting into numbers. Okay, this is what your offer looks like. A lot of thought and effort is put behind picking that salary band that you've been given and the equity that you're being given as well. So don't think that someone's just come out with these figures out of the air and said, you get this. They haven't. There's normally a committee, the engineering team, recruiters involved as well, who'll be looking there. They'll try and level out where you might be. No companies don't like telling you about this. But they'll try and level out what experience level do you have. Are you level 5 engineer, 4, 3, whatever. Then based on what your experience level is and where you fit in with the company technical ability, you're given a salary. A salary is picked from there. And like with someone like Coinbase, we do a huge amount of research into salaries. So the offer that you're going to get, I'm pretty confident I'm giving a good offer. So that's hard to relay across to candidates. If you believe me, the offer I'm giving you is really good. You know, they're not going to believe that necessarily. So typical questions that I get asked is, I get asked what our current valuation is. I get asked what our strike price is, when to exercise the options, what happens if they leave, you know, and it's been a few years later, do I still have options to exercise them? To compare, like if you're sitting there with one offer, the things you want to look at is not just percentage or just the amount. Do try and get a ballpark figure of what the arbitrary shares kind of look like now, today. Try and get that. And they can normally estimate something. However, you might not get an answer. They might say, we just simply don't know. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to guesstimate a number. Mm-hmm. But if they do have a 409A valuation, you will have a strike price, so that you'll know that. That will be very clear. Now, to evaluate whether those shares are actually worth anything at all, I mean, that's the key question. I mean, I could take Startup A, and Startup A has 12 people. You come in as their first engineer, and they're probably going to give you, I don't know, maybe 0.5% equity. You might get something as high as that, right? Mm-hmm. Does that mean anything, like compared to someone like the bigger startups of this world, like Coinbase, like companies like Instacart, companies like that? Now, where are they going? Where are they going to be in 5-10 years' time? Are they going to be global? Is that where they're heading? If they're heading globally, then you should really, really think about that. Because if the company is thinking, I'm going to just be acquired and just, it's probably not going to be worth much. Mm-hmm. And if the company isn't really growing, if they're not hiring a ton and it isn't going in the right direction, then you got to be thinking, well, I'll just ignore this piece and just focus on salary maybe.
So last time we spoke, you shared a piece of information that I wasn't really familiar right. with. Even from my time as an interviewer or hiring mm-hmm. or engineering manager, was the topic that recruiters often, in order to base their offers on reality, do similar to what is done in the real estate industry, which is you find vendors of data about what is the market paying for different job titles
right.
and use third-party data to inform you guys' salary bands
right.
of what salary offers to make.
Right.
Is there something comparable for equity offers, or is it a much more fluid, dynamic process for deciding?
It tends to be much more strictly decided. You can sometimes negotiate up or down. You could optimize for equity mm-hmm. and ask them what they can do if you were to trade up or trade down your salary. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very that's a very common option to do, and companies don't mind doing it. Mm-hmm. What was your second question?
Was whether you have a as a recruiter a third party data source
equity? No. So what we're doing is basing it on the rounds of funding that's happened. Obviously, earlier rounds, people were getting a lot more. As the shares get more and more diluted, they're worth a bit less. But then what's happened is you get more of them, if that makes sense, make up for that differential. Yeah. So people who start later aren't affected by the fact that they started later. Mm-hmm.
The other keyword that we should definitely cover right. before we move on is the topic of a strike price. So
right.
Instead of just being given being given shares in the employer that you have the opportunity to join as an employee, you're given options. So you're given a contract that gives you the option to buy shares. And that's not for free. You actually need to pay what's called a strike price to actually buy the shares. And there's a lot of more nuance to that, but the big point here is that when you're joining a company and part of the negotiation of an offer letter is, well, I don't know how negotiable this is in most cases, but there's the strike price, which is the price at which you have a right to buy the underlying shares in the business. So what is the strike price usually decided to be for different employers? Isn't it based off of the valuation of the company?
It's completely based on the 409 valuation.
So the 409A valuation.
And it has to be out, because sometimes what happens is you'll get a 409A valuation that you know is the rough amount, mm-hmm. but it hasn't been set in stone. Mm-hmm. And then you really have to wait for the 409A valuation where they say, okay, this is what we're valued at, and that's when the strike price comes out. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be too worried if a company has just gone through a round of funding, and let's say they've had some kind of valuation and you roughly know what it is. If they don't have a strike price, they just don't have a strike price. They're not going to be able to find it for you because they don't, because they've got nothing to base it on.
So this is for our audience that's ignorant about it, which I think I was not until not right. so recently. 409A valuation, 409A, the number and letter, is referring to a government form that businesses have to file when they receive investment. And so when a company like a startup receives an investment, it is done at a certain valuation of the total value of the company. And that's a government filing that businesses have to file when they take investment. So depending on when the most recent investment was received by a startup,
correct.
That impacts the price of the shares or the strike price of the options that you're going to be receiving. And so what Ruby's referring to is when there's uncertainty about when the next round of funding will be closed or announced, or that 409A form will need to be filed with the U.S. government. That creates ambiguity about what exactly will be the strike price and number of shares combination you'll get in your offer letter.
Right, which can be frustrating because you want to know and you're wondering why they're not telling you. But they can't tell you because they have no idea. Mm-hmm. There's certain information, you know, you might do a little research into equity and start asking a bunch of questions that probably isn't relevant to your offer, mm-hmm. but I understand the need to ask these questions and to understand exactly what we're talking about, what exactly a company's offering. If you're going to devote yourself to this company for a number of years, you mm-hmm. really need to know what's going to happen if you, you know, fully vest, stay there 4 years, and what's going to happen to your, you know, but you have to make a guesstimate. It's like the lottery. Like, they can mean nothing at all, or they can mean everything, you know? It literally is like that. And I think it really, I think the comparing part is another big issue, because what you want to do is really look at the size of the company, where they're growing, how big they're going to get, rather than, oh, but this company's giving me like 0.545%. I'm getting all these shares and they're worth this amount of money. Well, they're just really guesstimating. That you can't, you know, without a full valuation, without the strike price, you can't really fully say this is how much it is. And early stage companies, it's very difficult.
So for candidates, that's probably extremely unnerving to hear from a recruiter.
Right,
so on the other side of the table as a recruiter, how do you communicate confidence in your offer when it's ambiguous?
I think it's really just getting across the facts. The facts are this. You play with what you can play with. Let's say I do have a valuation, I do have a strike price. Well, I can use that very easily, and then the question is answered. If there isn't one, what I have to do is step back and get the candidate to step back a bit and look at the company. Where is it going? Are we hiring 300 people, or are we hiring one person because we can't afford to hire people? Are we planning to be a $10 billion company, or are we planning to get acquired? Mm-hmm. Or we just want to get here and just, you know, someone to buy us out. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to look at those things, because that's going to be important. You really need to look at where the growth trajectory of the company, what are they telling you? So when you have conversations with the VP of engineering, any of the leadership team, those are the questions you want to be asking them specifically. Yeah. The recruiter can help in a certain amount by giving the facts that we're given, right? But we can't negotiate on that part. You know, that's going to come from above. That's going to come from the candidate. You know, and there is flexibility about how you can, if you are concerned about the state of the company, or you're concerned that, you know, this is too much of a lottery, I don't know how much these shares worth, then negotiate more on your salary, optimize the salary part, you know, especially if you're not planning there to be that long, optimize on the salary. If you plan on being somewhere 5+ years, then make sure it is a company that has got a huge growth potential so that you can really see these are going to be worth something.
Yeah. No, so one question that some people give advice to job seekers of startups is that they should ask, when a job applicant receives an offer from a startup, is asking about what the startup's capitalization table looks like. And for those of us who don't know what it is, the capitalization table is spreadsheet often, which shows the breakdown of who exactly owns shares in the company.
Right.
And what percentage of the total number of shares there are and the absolute number of shares.
Yeah.
And this can serve as a really good guidance for, proof that the number of your shares you're getting is the percentage of total outstanding shares like they say it is, but it also gives some insights into what advantages or what different types of shares are outstanding. So a topic that often comes up is in compensation and discussions about equity incentives for employees is different shares have different what's called liquidity or liquidation preference. So when an investing company or an investing individual invests into a business, they often do so under the condition that the shares they're getting in the business have pay out before other shares. So this is a common risk mitigation tactic or negotiating tactic that investors use when investing.
Right.
As an employee or as a prospective employee talking to you, maybe as a recruiter, Do you often get questions about what is the capitalization table of Coinbase or the previous places you've been a recruiter at? And how do you react when you hear those questions?
I actually haven't had that exact question. I have been asked about preferred liquidation. I don't have that information at hand. That sort of information I'll have to get from the VP or I have to get from the CEO. But if you do ask those questions, don't expect the recruiter to be able to just, you know, come out with the answers for that, because they're in-depth questions. They're stuff that, you know, isn't critically important in an offer. But if someone wants to know, I'm not sure how much value it is to the person, because if an investor puts a lot of money in, it kind of makes sense that they're going to want to get the returns from it. You know, they're putting a lot of risk in putting out that money. So I'm not sure if that, you know, how much that matters. But obviously, if you got specifics and it looks a little wrong or a little off kilter, then you can worry about that. But I would strongly advise a lot of ask the recruiter what they can tell you about the equity, because depending on the recruiter's level of knowledge, how long they've been talking about equity to candidates, they may or may not know the answer. But what you want to do is try and arrange, but do this after you've got the offer.
Got the offer in hand. All the advice that Rudy's selling us is like, after you get the offer.
This is after you get it. Don't ask any of these questions before. There's no point, right? Get the offer in hand, then say, hey, I'd like to discuss some of the details of this. Who is it? Who can I speak to? Who's the best person to speak to about it? The recruiter might be the best person to speak to about it, but they actually might put you through to one of the leadership team, for example. If they really want you, they probably will. So that once you speak to the VP of engineering, I can guarantee you'll be accepting the job offer, because they will be able to tell you, okay, this is, let's just break it down here. Let's just look. This is where we're going. This is what we're doing. We're doing ABC. This is why this is worth this much. This is what I thought when I joined the company. I think it's very powerful hearing from a VP of engineering or other engineers the reason that they joined and why they believed in that company so much that they thought it was going to go somewhere.
And I think one of the reasons that you might not often get asked about what is the capitalization table of the company I'm getting this offer from is because it doesn't actually give you a great deal of information. It can give you some really big red flags in some circumstances. But by asking about the cap table, it often suggests you don't trust the recruiter and inherently the employer.
Right.
Which is, in some cases, reasonable, but in other cases, it kind of is a slap in the face to the prospective employer you're engaging with.
I mean, can I be totally honest?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is frustrating when people ask lots of questions about the equity, and because what happens is it's like someone's read a book and they're picking out all the keywords and asking exactly what those keywords mean to that company. A lot of the time it isn't important. The main factors are what's the total amount of diluted shares? What's the total amount that's out there? What percentage of it do you have, and make sure it figures out. And then using that 409 valuation, that's very useful, and seeing what it was like before, when they got another series of round of funding, when they've got another round of funding, maybe doing some of your own research into seeing, you know, how far they have come. And if the company's kind of flat like this, you know, do I care about shares in this company? Do I want to join this company? And it also depends on what you want. Do you want money or do you want equity? Some people want to, it depends. If you've got a house and kids, you're going to optimize on cash. If you haven't, and you can put some skin in the game, which I always use, but if you can put some skin in the game, and you can see the company growing, then, you know, you want to probably optimize on the equity, because that'll pay out big time.
Yeah. And for people who are coming from careers where they had no previous job that had an equity portion of compensation, one of the things we should definitely distinguish with options is that getting this options component or equity component of your offer is not a signing bonus. The standard is that you only get these options over the first four years that you are at that employer. Mm-hmm. If you leave before 4 years, you only get a prorated amount based on how long you've been there. And there's also the typical one-year cliff, which refers to the fact that if you leave in less than 12 months after starting, you don't get any of your offered options. Yeah. And the other distinction I should make about the strike price is that, like I was saying, it's not a signing bonus. The strike price is the base at which you start your job, and you'll only make money off these options. And in some cases, not even then, you'll only make money off these options if the valuation of the company goes up from when you join.
Yes.
So it's really an incentive to really care about how the business as a whole does.
Yeah.
Which is often something that gets lost in the conversation, because the word equity refers often to shares, where you're really getting options to buy shares.
Right, right. Yeah,
that's
right.
A really, I think, a helpful distinction to make for people who've never gotten options before in an offer. But are there any other topics that we should cover about equity and the negotiation process, and like what are good things to ask, what are bad things to ask?
Right. I think what you want to do is get the facts. What I would strongly advise is maybe speaking, because if a recruiter is telling you, the odds are, I don't know whether you're going to believe that person or whether you think that they don't know what they're talking about. And if you feel like that you're working with a recruiter like that, what you want to do, be very nice about it, but just say, is there anyone I can speak to about equity just in a bit more detail? They should be absolutely happy to put you through to senior leadership, so someone can go through it in absolute minute detail, every single thing that you need to know. Whenever I've done that, people have come away happy, signed, taking the job.
Makes sense.
You know, so then it suddenly all makes sense to people, and they realize some of the questions that they're asking, they don't really need to ask them. But it all comes from a place of not knowing, obviously. You know, it's there's little information out there about what you should know. And, you know, also it's confusing because you can get people coming in with competing offers with completely different size companies, different series companies, and just don't compare the two. Because company A that's worth $5 million, right?
Sure.
It's not the same as a company that's worth $100 million at all.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
That, so you're going to get a less portion of that, but it's probably more likely to pay out at the end.
Yeah. One thing I want to highlight is that if you guys have any questions for Ruby, by all means, drop them in the comments on the episode,
please do.
Whether on YouTube or on our website at theaccidentalengineer.com. We should absolutely take an opportunity to let Ruby plug roles that you guys are hiring for at Coinbase. You guys are hiring engineers, I imagine.
A lot of engineers right now. So basically what we're looking for, we are adding to our senior engineer elements. So we're hiring a bunch of senior back-end engineers, front-end engineers, people to work on platform. We're hiring big in the data team, data analysts, machine learning experts or engineers, data engineers. It's actually everything.
All right. Well.
I think after a certain time, keep an eye on the website, because we are starting to hire more entry level, more junior, mid sort of entry to mid level people. And then that's definitely an exciting time to join, because you will actually have a lot of mentors to actually learn from.
And we'll include links in the show notes. So
yeah.
Ruby of Coinbase, everyone. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. All right.